Hello, welcome to a Stomach Fall Through Watching Podcast is Not Popular, episode 232. My name is Justin.
And mine's Helen.
I'm saying it already. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody that's going to celebrate this week, because yes, we're recording this podcast a couple days ahead of Thanksgiving, so we know people are going to spend some time with family and hopefully not talk about anything too dangerous. So all the nice bad football that could potentially be airing or happening on that day.
Yes, this is one of the years where coming from a family of Commanders fans is suffering.
The Commanders are not very good this year, so.
This is the case most years. Although it's funny, my stepdad is a fan of the Lions. They are actually doing good this year, so, you know, he's always happy about that.
Yeah, not as good as last year, but that was the new head coach, but he's been the head coach for the Lions for a couple years now, but obviously they're in a much better shape than years past, that is for sure. But definitely not having the same season as last year's, but we'll see. It's obviously, they're still in the hunt and everything, but yeah. But, all right, well, how's the last 2 weeks been treating you, Helen? How's it been?
The U.S. government decided it wanted to be open again, so I've resumed work, which means that I am now slowly catching up with some of my anime during lunch breaks, but since I'm going to be traveling for Thanksgiving, you know, that's just going to throw off all of the, you know, gains I have made, so nothing really new from me on the talking end. I did finally read more of the Shadows House manga, since we were talking about it on the Taiku podcast. The Manga in Your Ears podcast that is under the Taiku podcast amalgamation, because Corey decided he only wanted to have one Blue Sky account. Corey has listened to our episode on Trials and Tribulations, so he asked me if I had spoiled you on Shadow's House, if you read it, and I was like, do you not remember that last year when we put out our call for top manga of 2024, Justin's entry was simply Shadow's House, Shadow's House, Shadow's House?
And it still is one of my top manga of 2025.
It's good, yeah. Still. Corey was saying, oh yeah, I might keep reading it, you know, if the library's copies. And I was like, hang on, let me just go into the chat and just start posting like screenshots of things and like volume two. And like three other friends who could like read the chat were like, oh, what's this? we were talking about Shadow's House, and I will say now that if anyone wants to have us read out your list of your top manga of 2025, you can go ahead and send a message or at us at Taiku Podcast on Blue Sky. You can be chaotic like Justin, just have the same title three times if that suits your fancy. We're going to be accepting but judgmental. Or at least that's my policy.
Yeah, for me, I've been finally, I think last episode I was saying, like, I caught up to my reads. I love it, Helen. I caught up to my reads, so I may have to catch up to my anime, but now guess what's happening? I'm pretty much almost caught up to the anime, but now I'm falling behind
even
my
with
reads.
All the new, even with the Detective Conan movie still coming out on the regular?
Even with the Detective Conan still coming out on the regular, the focus, I'm starting to get that focus happening again, but it's still a work in progress. But again, as you kind of mentioned at the same time, while we'll be traveling, obviously, I still have Thanksgiving duties and still have some family coming over, so might not be able to catch up to everything or have still some organization, but I will have a couple days with Black Friday and the weekend, so I might be able to just finally catch up to everything and have some semblance of normalcy in this chaotic world.
God, I swear, like, yes. All of the small artists I follow are starting their Black Friday sales early, and it's like, come on, now I have to like start making my plans early. Although at least I've gotten all my back pay. That was good. My bank account did not like me going like 2 months of rent, utilities, etc. with no paycheck. But we're all good now.
Yeah, that's excellent. But I have, again, catch up to you. Still been watching anime. I finally finished another summer anime season show. But you know, Netflix. You know, Netflix, yes. And they're random deciding to, oh yeah, we're going to have Fragrant Flower Blooms with Dignity air in September. But why? You want to make sure it's dubbed in all languages. Well, okay, I don't know if it's all languages, but whatever languages they decided to choose, they wanted it dubbed in all that. And unlike My Happy Marriage and I guess Sakamoto Days? Actually, I don't know if Sakamoto Days was a simul dub. Maybe it was. I think it was one other show they had that they simul-dubbed.
Was Delicious in Dungeon simul-dubbed? I know it was simulcast.
Yep, correct. Yep, you're right, you're right. It was both. It was simul-dubbed and simul-dubbed. Yep, that's the other one. But unlike those two shows, they could not obviously get the schedule. They obviously couldn't line up schedules, I guess, well enough, so they had to delay the whole thing for 2 August. I guess really 2 months.
Yeah.
Let's go with 2 months, because I think it adds to it to end of September. And finally finished it this morning, or really the afternoon. Both sub and dub. And yes, I had a really good time with Fragrant Flower. Again, very simple story. Got the popular, got the nice, making sure I get the Kikyo's, the pristine, very elegant school, always clean and everything, versus the always dirty, the liquid Chidori. Got the classic tall guys, somewhat small girl, and somehow they end up meeting and again enjoying each other's company, and had a good time with it. And I think the last episode was very much a case where, yes, looking at Karuko's perspective was really good when she met Rintaro, and as it turns out, that was not the first time she had seen Rintaro.
Gasp.
So I loved it. I personally had a good time with it. I especially loved Cloverworks. Again, adapting it, they pretty much, I think, adapted it from the manga as well as you could. So I had a good time with it. The only thing I will give misgivings for all the delays for this, I think how Netflix handled the dub of this. I mean, you could also just argue that how they handled the entire series in general was a misstep, but I think how they handled the dub was ultimately a misstep. I don't think it was worth doing this. I will first off say that I think Karuko, what was it? I think her name is Bijo Van, is the voice actress, I should say, for her. I think the first, episode or two, I don't think she was really understanding or really getting, or was not really, voice directed well, getting the proper direction for Karuko in the first early couple episodes. But I think as time went on, I pretty much got settled into her voice, and it worked out really well. So I was like, I don't think, I mean, maybe it could be somebody better, but if we get more of the series going forward, which I know there's going to be, I wonder if there's a compilation film that's been announced for this, but I don't know if it's a straight sequel. But I believe we are getting some form of Fragrant Flower in the future, but nothing of a season 2 just announced yet. But if, again, when that returns, I wouldn't mind her coming back to voice her. But they've, for pretty much almost everybody else, they have to rethink some things. Maybe get a new director. Sorry for whoever the voice director for this one was. I think one character, Usami, is one of the characters, one of Rintaro's known friends. He's kind of a jokester character, kind of a key character. I think done very poorly from start to finish. I kid you not, I really thought it was AI at one point.
Multiple points,
actually, with how it was sounding. Apparently, it is somebody that is a voice actor, but from this quick research, first time doing an anime, he mostly has a background in live action dubs. And I think that's the performance he carried over into the anime, and it's not working. and I think the general other voice act, you see some of these newer voice actors, they did okay to mediocre, they don't stand out. So for, I think, a show like this, I think you just need a really strong cast particularly for Rome. Obviously most dubs you want a strong cast.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in this case, a more experienced cast might have been a better idea for this one. So I think overall, I think Netflix kind of dropped the ball on how they handled it. We'll see how the future holds for this series, but overall, I think what a worthwhile watch of the summer season, and looking forward to more of that when that comes. So
I mean, you can always try to read more of it on K-Manga.
No, I have. I've been reading the manga.
I know it's it's usually listed as one of their most popular series on there.
Yeah, I don't try to spend the points to read it, so I'm always a week behind, but I am essentially caught up in that sense.
Yeah, I keep forgetting to check the show out, so while you were talking, I went over to Netflix and I stuck it on my list, so it's there, that is one less way to forget
now,
about it.
Now it's there. You can't forget
I mean, I could forget to just look at Netflix for a while. That also happens, but
it
different problem.
now. But okay, now actually, let's talk about some shows airing this season. So I had like three shows on my list that I didn't get just to watch when we did the fall anime season first impressions. One of them was To Your Eternity season three, which is again more of Fushi's wild escapades through life eternally. That's basically what like the like Fushi's just been around like just from medieval fantasy times to now in the modern world. Modern things mean modern problems requiring modern solutions, and he has no
Rocket
idea what he's
launchers, dating
getting
apps. Oh, we're talking about different kinds of problems. Okay.
into. But once again, Yoshitoki Oyama's trademark weirdness with pretty much everything, every character is present in season three. And I enjoy it. I can't say it's coherent in many ways, but there's just something about it that keeps drawing me in. I think also what draws me in is just the whole concept of Fushi just being this immortal who just could continue to progress through time, continuing to learn and mold, just learn, just keep trying to like absorb every new thing that it's experiencing. And just Fushi transforming into anything, almost anything, is also pretty cool sometimes too.
Your
So,
description
but it's
there,
like, okay.
it reminds me of the line from Benoit Blanc in Knives Out, like, confounds me, but intrigues me.
Good description of this one. Good description. But okay, so this, but I guess, oops, sorry. But I guess the main point is like, okay, but what's the rest of the story now? Fushi did what he did in the past season, where it looks like the world is now supposedly like peaceful, so he's now in the modern world. But okay, but what's the threat now? The Nakas are gone, right? They are gone, right? That is the million-dollar question. It builds up to it, but yes, they're definitely not gone. So that means many questions of how they're still around. The man in black. Well, hey man, what happened here? What I thought everything was supposed to be peaceful. I did everything I was supposed to do. What's going on here? So we got the mystery about that, and once again, we got the one person in the highest line, the this one really, to be kind, crazy woman in the past two seasons was just very obsessed with
If that's kind, then what's
Fushi.
unkind?
Not getting into that, but anyways, let's just say that she has obviously descendants, and one of them is Kuroha. So she and her family has a story.
You're telling me that the
So just about
Yandere-ness is genetic?
it is very genetic. It's like Fushi just can't escape no matter what lifetime he go that it goes through. It just can't escape. But yes, yeah, so I'm having a good time with that. Also, somehow still having a good time with Wand Dance. I will tell you this, Helen, and I hate to say this, I really do. Read the manga,
I have heard
because that's
everybody
what.
say that the story is compelling, but that the CGI is just really immersion
This
breaking.
is it. This is a what would a this is the what could have been Medalist when we had Engi announced to do the series. Like this is what we thought Medalist would have been like, something that has a solid story, but then everything else is gonna look like kind of awful or mediocre. But instead, Engi turned it around. They actually not only nailed the story and the visuals, but also that most key part, the figure skating.
Which is why
This is
you'd
unfortunately.
want to watch something anime in the first place for something like dance, like figure skating.
Yes, and it'd be one thing funny enough, and I know people disagree, but if Wand Dance's dancing was at least like average, that would probably be enough for me. But it doesn't even reach average sometimes. It is usually someplace below average. And then unfortunately, when you watch like this Climax Expo where you get to the our main characters, they're in a high school, obviously dance team, and they're in a dance competition. That's a key like moment for these characters, for Wanda and Kaboku. This is it. This is and you have also the other teammates. This is the big moment, and the dancing to look like, to be kind, trash. This is yeah. Really hard to recommend it. It's just so hard, like, because everything about it is just so enjoyable. Like, just these two characters, and it again, we don't get too many anime that Cowboy's like main character that stutters. I think this being presented pretty well.
And that's another thing where
And
you
again,
kind of want it animated to really capture it, since you're going to have a much different experience reading a character who stutters versus listening to them, especially if they do it well.
So you have, and then you again, you just have just not even just again, the story is good, characters are good. And funny enough, I some of the tracks I think they've chosen to do dances, they've seemed pretty good too. But it's just almost every time they dance, are they really impressive? Like I see, like they have in the fifth episode, they have like a like Kabuko is dancing with one of the other only other boy in the dance class. They have this Iori. They have the students watching, and they say like, "Oh, it's all impressive and everything," but visually, maybe, maybe it's impressive. I don't think it's really selling it. So, yeah, I hate to say this, but yes, I the only way I would say you watch this is if you just really don't want to read the manga, and you're just like, okay, if the story is good enough, then maybe. But I feel like you're gonna get the best experience by checking out the manga. So it is unfortunate. Sad to say.
And the manga is published by Kodansha in addition to being on K-Manga, right?
Yes, so you could it's even in print, so you can even maybe
So
find it in the
it's
library.
not like I can either watch an anime with subpar CGI or I can download the K-Manga app again. At least you are not faced with that choice.
Well, I don't know if they have. Excuse me.
I just remember seeing that advertised a lot on K-Manga as well. I haven't opened up the app in a
I
while, but I remember that.
okay, but the thing is, if you have to pay points to read all of it, then that's going to be a bottleneck. So that's why, and this is unfortunately the same issue with Past the Monster Baby Lady, because I saw like there are some chapters that had tickets, there's some that I think the first three or so chapters are free. Then you have to use tickets to read the rest, but they're free. But then after that, points, and I'm just like, that's it. Not starting again. I just can't do this to myself. So I don't know about Wand Dance, but yes, you can at least, since Kodansha themselves is publishing in English, then you can just find it in your store, buy it digitally on like storefronts and everything. So
Slide
you
on
got
over to
options
your
there.
library and go, "Hey guys, could you do me a solid?"
So and then the other show that I was finally able to check out somehow was Umamusume: Cinderella Gray Part 2. Gonna relay what I told Helen online earlier in the week. Maybe it was Friday, so not that long ago actually. But so last year, Umamusume: Cinderella Gray aired on YouTube on Remnow's channel, and the entire series was free. Like you could literally just watch everything, no issues whatsoever.
And it
If I
wasn't
miss
one of
like,
those stupid take it down after a couple weeks, which was the
yeah, it
issue
was.
I've been running into with Watanabe.
Yeah, they did. They did that for a couple shows. I remember they did this with Tombo. I had to make sure I watched it.
It seemed
Go
like
ahead.
they did that for Watanabe, but they might have stopped after it became like unexpectedly popular. But that was definitely still the case with Hell Teacher Nubé. Just.
Yeah, their inconsistency is very weird, and that unfortunately bled into Cinderella Gray, which guess what? Umamusume became very popular because of the mobile series, and obviously views
Which
picked
should
up
mean that you guys
since
keep it
then.
up longer then. Keep people coming back.
Yeah, but as I discovered, funny, I was gonna try to watch it on my smart TV,
But you're
on YouTube.
not a Samsung Plus branded TV.
Yeah, my room, I have my Sony TV, so
A different
it's
Japanese
just with the
company.
YouTube. At the YouTube was gonna they still have it up on YouTube, so it shows it's there, but then for whatever reason, it would just redirect me to episode 3 of Cinderella Gray. I was like, I was pretty sure I clicked 14. What is happening here? And then I tried to see if there was any other episodes to click, but no, it just redirect me to just episode 3. So I checked on YouTube on like my app, and it just said the region was like I couldn't access it in my country. So it's like, oh, so I can't just watch it anymore. So I had a dilemma. Do I wait to the end of the season? Because I know they're gonna at some point throw all the episodes up, and you can just stream it like that. Or maybe at some point they're gonna just show the entire episodes. But I think I may have missed that. Like they had a broadcast delay, I think, at one point. So they may have actually had the episodes up for a bit, but I missed that. But anyway, for that, or I could just finally experience this on TV Plus for the first time ever. Okay, I'm lying. I
Or
have
we can go sail the seven seas.
spent a little time with Sense of TV Plus a couple times over the past, I want to say, month. Just see what it has, the channels it has, and everything. I was really turning into some of the cooking channels, I think. So I did obviously find the anime channels and everything. So I knew obviously it was there, but then it's like, okay, now I gotta figure out when Umusume airs
Oh
and when I
God, is
should
it like
sit.
linear TV?
It is literally like you must, like, I don't even know you can record or anything like that. I have not found that out. But yes, Helen, I sat down there. It was, I think, 4 o'clock, and I was sitting down on the couch in the living room till like 6:30
Why does
just
everyone
to
keep
watch.
reinventing cable?
Just to watch Little Gray. And I have no regrets, none whatsoever. It is peak. We are getting into, I guess, more of the tribulations of what happens when you take the horse world by storm, but then the competition only gets stiffer and stiffer. And in this case, Ogre Cap obviously has a rival in Tamamo Cross, but now the world has its own challenges, and then means challengers. And there's a Japan Cup that invites a whole bunch of international horses into the competition, which means they have their styles and things that they like to do. But of course, it comes down to the top contenders. And funny enough, one of the horses. So most for and it is mostly because obviously it's more convenient. Umusume, the creator of Cygames, they're using the Japanese horses in their works, but it's a little bit different story if it's overseas. So they had to change a couple names
I want
just to
Seabiscuit. I
make it
want
work
Seabiscuit to
out.
be a racehorse. To be Numa Musume.
So as it turns out, like Old Baby Master is not the actual name. It's Pay to, was it Pay to Win? I think it was. Was it Pay to Win? Shoot, I already forgot. I think it was something like Pay to Win. It could be something else
Yeah,
again, but
I think I
that's.
remember hearing about Pay to Win as like an actual racehorse in America.
Yes, I'm not obviously going over the specifics because it's again a spoiler, because Umusume is literally following exact results of horse racing.
Wait, really?
Yes, it actually is. That's why this is a more
So does
challenging
that mean
season
you
for
ever have
Ogure
any
Cap.
races where a horse girl has to be put down at the end of it?
No, that's not, that's
Because
not
that
what
happens in real
happened.
life.
What really I think happens is that they quote unquote retired. In the sense that obviously gonna be background characters and not stepping into like the limelight or anything like that, but you just see them like in the background focus, or we're mostly just focused on the main like subject of the storyline. But no, they don't get put down. This is too wholesome. The Umusui franchise is very wholesome series of horse girls and everything. That's what it is.
Not gonna
But
be able to
yes,
stop
real.
thinking about how I want Seabiscuit as an Uma Musume, since Seabiscuit was like
Yeah,
Seabiscuit was a
I would
fast horse,
welcome
but you also
that.
you have this idea of like thoroughbreds as being like kind of elegant, prissy, and everything, and Seabiscuit was like trash. Seabiscuit was kind of a gremlin, honestly. Just a very fast gremlin. Which would work well as an Uma Musume character.
But yes. But yes, okay, good. I don't want to make sure I forget this. So yes, I as always recommend reading watching Horse Girls. Again, somebody out there, please just license of home media, just do it. It's not gonna, it may be a money sink, but maybe the popularity of the game will help you out. Just do it anyways. But that's what does in the season. The Sansa TV Plus experience is a little weird. Again, you have to, it's like obviously standard TV. You have to actually like plop your you have to plop down on a seat and watch. You can't, I didn't test you can actually like pause or anything like that. Maybe I should have tried that. Maybe one day I'll do that, but I was like, yeah, it's fine. I should be able to watch it, no issues whatsoever. And the main issue is, I think the subtitles they don't cut out. They didn't cut out often, but at times they would disappear for some random reason and come back. And it really was pretty bad towards the recent episode, episode I think 18, where for like a good 3 or 4 minutes, maybe less than that, because at some point I was just trying to just change the channel or just if I could just retweet around, the captions just did not display at all. So it's like no captions for this one part. I'm like, okay, I gotta figure this out. I think at one point I just changed the station and eventually the captions came back. But yeah, that was kind of annoying. Hope I don't have to do that again. Or if I do it again, it will be done at a better time.
You know, it's kind of amazing that we're in 2025 and we're still having some of the same technical issues we had like 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
So yeah, we're not necessarily recommend the Sansa TV Plus experience, but I mean, I only spent a couple hours with it really, so I mean, maybe another time I'll go over it more, but that's in the near future.
Well, I think that's enough positive talk for this episode. Let's go into, honestly, you said the corporations win here, but I'm not sure if this is better, I think it could be considered that either way. So, Tokyo District Court has ruled that the American internet infrastructure company Cloudflare is liable for damages in copyright infringement lawsuit, which was filed by the Japanese publishers Shueisha, Kodansha, Shogakukan, and Kadokawa back in 2022. Let's see, the ruling recognized about 3.6 billion yen, which is currently about 24 million US dollars, in damages to the four publishers. But since the publishers only claimed a portion of the damages suffered was due to Cloudflare specifically, Cloudflare was ordered to pay a total of about 500 million yen, which is about 3.3 million dollars, US dollars. So kind of a slap on the wrist. For folks who are trying to remember what this 2022 lawsuit was about, apparently lawsuits in Japan take as long as they do in the U.S., this alleged that Cloudflare distributed data for manga piracy sites that infringe on the publisher's copyrights, and it sought both an injunction and about 460 million yen, which was U.S. $4 million at the time, in compensation for the damages. I am quoting from the ANN article right here. Kodansha also alleged that Cloudflare's policy of only requiring an email address to register for free allows piracy sites to hide their identity, and that Cloudflare has allowed multiple piracy sites collecting advertising revenue to operate. Which is very true. Whenever I go on pirate sites, I have like all... God, I don't even know how many ad blockers I've got right now. 5? 8? A lot of them. I have them all fully engaged, so I never see a single ad, so I'm not doing it like that. Let's see. And then Justin was not only looking at this article, but Justin was also checking the A&M forums to see if there's any nuggets of wisdom in there, and noted that Sam Panatsky, who is the founder and head of J Novel Club, noted in the forums that there are two sides to this issue. But it confirms that Cloudflare, in this case, was actively accepting money from the pirate sites themselves, which I guess would be, I guess just like hosting fees. But and in Sam's opinion, this makes them more liable this time. And also, funny enough, all of this was decided like the day before Cloudflare had kind of a major hiccup in the morning with places like Twitter and said piracy websites being inaccessible for a couple of hours. It was funny because Justin's, who was it? I think it was like a friend had like sent me The Witch Had a Atelier trailer, and you tried to send, and I like sent it to you, but like I think you might not have been able to see it because it was on Twitter or something like that. I had a different friend who was sending me a different video related to the Epstein files, but it was on Twitter, so I couldn't see it for a while.
Okay.
But I remember us joking, like, oh man, The Witch Had a Atelier trailer went up, and then Twitter just immediately crashed. It's like, sorry, yeah. Justin, it's actually because of Cloudflare, not the power of Witch Hat.
It was like, oh wow, Coco's power. Coco's power. As for the why much of the corporate was winning, because obviously this is more corporate driven. I would assume a majority of creators would be obviously in support of this type of ruling, because obviously, again, largely speaking, piracy is again taking money away from creators in this manner, and in this case, this has been the case for a long time, so I could see, obviously, a number of creators supporting this. So, from my very privileged perspective, as somebody that's just, in the, just watching, like, I mean, just following U.S. trends, or just following, I guess, U.S. manga and light novels, not really, like, I obviously hear stuff from, like, what's good in Japan and everything, but either that's either through osmosis, or just seeing, like, some chatter about it, I feel like it makes sense in a way. Like, obviously, like, I'm just not, I'm not somebody that's, I can't remember last time I really went to a scanlation site to read anything. I just feel like at this point, there's enough titles out there for me to check out, or at least interesting enough for me to read. So my perspective is, okay, this makes sense. I feel like it's fine. But that's from my perspective. The only major issue is there are many people who are not in my perspective. And I think in some cases, the Japanese publishers can get a little too restrictive on what they want to allow. So it gets to a point where it's just like, okay, you make all these restrictions, and is this actually just hurting a work, or is it actually helping, or is it just a case where you just like, we just want to stay in our country? Is that what is happening here? So I feel like this is a case where, is this gonna really, like, I think ultimately it's gonna count to, it really just comes down to whether companies and creators are just happy about this arrangement, and they probably are. I don't think they like seeing, like, their work. And I think, especially seeking, they want approval for it. So they can't get approval for it, and you just see this willy-nilly just all over the place, and it's, like, and just translated in however format you want it without, like, any guidance and stuff like that, then I think that's where the issue comes by, and that means they're probably happy about this ruling. Mm-hmm. Very curious if this will affect the bottom line. It's hard to say, because it just feels like, we always talk about print. It feels like that's sort of on decline for years and years, because most people are just going to just buy digitally.
But then it's a matter of trying to figure out, okay, which service is not going to go under and totally fuck me over?
Yeah. So yeah, this is, it's hard to know exactly how, and especially, like, I think Cloudflare has to do something about the situation. I guess that's my understanding, because, again, there are some things they do host in Japan, obviously, so I think that will impact certain things, so I think they do have to try to do something, or I don't know if they can pay all the damages. I'm not that savvy about legal matters here, and especially since it's in a dollar country. But
yeah, since in the U.S. we have, what is it? I think it's Section 280, which says that providers aren't necessarily liable for all of the user-generated content on their sites. I think I'm remembering all that correctly. But yeah, that's U.S. strictly. I don't know what it's like in other countries, like anything the EU might have put together. Apparently, it's new EU regulations that require Twitter to start listing where all the users are from, which has had some funny moments over the past couple days. Justin, would you believe that so many of those random bots are actually from Russia?
I am not surprised. I am not even. I haven't obviously talked to you, but some of my friends over the years, we just mentioned, like, look at all these, like, just fake, these fake, yeah, accounts trying to start stuff. And then obviously, they're making, like, they're saying stuff that I think to the average person sounds like it could be true, but it's like, this is obviously not true. We can definitely tell. And then you realize, yeah, that's probably because they're in another country. That just
the internet is both a blessing and a curse.
I have wondered over the years if it's just too much of a curse, but there are so many benefits to this, having the internet, so you can't really call it a total curse.
We got to meet because of the internet.
Yeah. I get it. But yes, the piracy thing is always something that's never going to go away. I think it's obviously something that we'll be continuing to discuss moving forward. But I guess for now, companies won the, I guess, rest of the world zero. If this is a win-loss, I think that's how it works. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's my thoughts on this. I guess it's time to move on to some of the other news we got, right?
Yeah, you did say you wanted to do this in under an hour, and we're already at like 40 minutes, so.
I know, right? Already under 40 minutes. So, yes. Kodansha, remember, had their Young Magazine U.S. English issue a couple months ago. It was a big campaign as celebration, like, I think it was a 50th? No, not 50th. But it was an anniversary for Young Magazine, so they had like a special U.S. edition. It was on... So Anime New York City, they had a big thing about this, and the main thing is they had a contest, so if they had enough, like, they obviously decided by votes, had a number of contestants, and we have our winners. So we have the...
Oh, and to be clear, the contest was which of these series will continue to be serialized.
Right. These are expected to be on K-Manga. I believe at some point, I think sometime next year, early next year, I think. But it's also going to be serialized in Japan and Monthly Young Magazine and or Yam Manga Web. So there will be plenty of places to read it in Japan and the rest of the world. And out of the final count of 281,461 votes, the winners are Kami Nishio Still You, which won first place. Ren Shimokawa's Godmother took second. Ray Kendo is the Nine Blast to be third. Daisuke Itabashi's The Journey of a Dark Elf with Fading Powers, fourth, and Ogo's Fascination, fifth. So that's good. And then they also, the staff and magazine stated, following this immense response, we are already moving forward with preparations for the second Yamaga US project. And just if you thought, like, oh yeah, those five works are going to be it. No, they're going to pick four additional works. It's going to be picked not just on the poll results, but also on the brilliance of the talent and lingering impact of the works.
The editor's going, hang on, like, let's get some professionals in here making these choices.
That is also another teacher, right? that's probably it too. But yes, I guess again, congratulations to all the winners, and also early congrats to the four additional picks. Works that are going to get picked in the near future. Obviously, getting serialized is a good thing. So, yes, congratulations to everybody involved.
And continuing the chatter about digital manga, U.S.-based digital manga publisher and platform Azuki has announced that they are rebranding to Omoi, which I think they have indirectly said is, yeah, because there is that crypto, like, AI-generated thing out there that's also called Azuki. They were created after us, but this is starting to get a little confusing, so we are rebranding to Omoi. They said that it's supposed to be, you know, the word for thoughts and feelings, but I just look at it and my mind goes heavy, because that is the level of Japanese I achieved in my classes, knowing that it's also a adjective for heavy. So in my mind, it is now called heavy beans.
Heavy beans.
Omoi Azuki. Heavy beans.
Yeah, heavy beans. Yeah. The only thought I have is, yes, Azuki is kind of a known, common-ish type of name, but obviously the Web3 crypto brand that apparently is, I guess, expanding
a little trash. Bit. Trash. Just absolute trash.
Unfortunately getting more, I guess, more credit or more, like, known than the manga version. So, yeah, unfortunate name change. Just had to be done, but it's unfortunate that they have to do all that. So, yeah.
Azuki was a cute name, too. Just, you know, like, a cute little red bean, you know?
Yep. So they had the Kadokawa had their MF Bunko J Natsu Gakusen 2025 event that happened a few weeks ago, or I guess last week, should be more clear. It was originally planned to actually be like at a location. They eventually had to move to online only because it looks like they got enough credible violent threats that were made against the performers and attendees, and yeah, that's not what I want to hear. Not good. It's not good at all. It's like it's very rare to like have these type of events. So the fact that they got enough credible threats to have to cancel it and just make it online only is just not good. Not good at all.
In better news, however, mangaka Yellow Tanabe is resuming serialization for Kaihen Wizards. This will be resuming on November 26th. It's been on a hiatus since July, so hopefully that was a nice, relaxing break. And then wrapping up our news section with an obituary, manga creator Risa Motoyama revealed on Instagram on October 2nd that her brother, Kazuki Motoyama, real name Masumi Motoyama, artist of who did various manga for the Mario series, has passed away. She did not confirm a date of death or the cause on Instagram. He started doing manga related to Mario. Having Mario and manga in the same sense is just tripping up my brain a little bit.
I can tell, Helen.
He started doing works for that franchise back in 1988 in Kodansha's comic Bon Bon magazine. And his final Super Mario manga was based on the Nintendo 64 game Yoshi's Story in 1998. So even if he hadn't worked on it in a while, that's still a good 10 years of making manga for Mario. And Mario is more popular than ever now.
Yep, lots of can't escape Super Mario, can't escape the Mario.
I know when the trailer came out for the next movie, someone on Twitter was posting that they were the artist who had drawn the picture of Hot Bowser that was shown in the trailer, and they were posting like, never in my life did I think I would be drawing like official Hot Bowser paintings, mm-hmm. you know, for Nintendo.
But yes, my condolences to Motoyama's family and friends. Obviously not still news you want to share or have to happen, but unfortunate news for sure. All right, gonna transition over to the licenses that happened over the past few weeks. And Tokyo Pop, they
popped off.
They had some licenses. They really decided to pop off before the end of the year. So they licensed Nayuta Nago's A Nightingale Awaits the Blooming Love of Spring, Yoriko's I Want to See Me in Your Eyes, Ikugawa's Waiting for You at the End of the One Way, Unohana's Shinjuku 69 Heaven, Nojiko Hayakawa's Strobe in the Dark. That looks like I forgot the author name for this one, unfortunately. My bad. A Boring Man and an Extraordinary Man. And Nagashima's A Boring... Oh, now I see what I did. God, cut that out. Okay, I'm probably going to leave it there. And
I mean, you're the editor. You could just tell yourself to cut it out.
I am not cutting it out. I am not... I'll leave it in there. And Nagashima's A Boring Man and an Extraordinary Man. Hiro Murasaki's Hit Me Hard with Desire. Mion Nomiya's How My Cute Girlfriend and I Started a Love Story. Kiriha Suzumiya's Night Type Girlfriend. Kaiko Fuyu Mushi's There Beneath the Water. And Pong Kichi's The Encyclopedia of Vegetable Fairies.
Oh, wait, hang on. I might know what that is.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I was just going to add that. I think somebody's a Yuri. Like, There Beneath the Water, I think, is a Yuri title. Same with, I think, Night Type Girlfriend. So look at Seven Seas. Obviously,
you have to Yeah, I know what the Vegetable Fairies is. I've been following this artist on Instagram for, like, God, pre-pandemic at least. They draw, like, these really cute images of, like, animal and vegetable mashups. They have a lot of designs, which I think would be very cute with plushies. But the ones that they've made as plushies really don't get released over here. They're just sort of, like, gacha game only in Japan and stuff like that. Hmm. I shouldn't have laughed at that, because I shouldn't have laughed at that title.
The Encyclopedia of Vegetable Fairies? What's wrong with that?
Well, I just thought it was silly. Then I went, hang on, wait a minute. I think I actually know what this is.
Oh, because you're... Okay. But now it's coming over here officially in English.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then... Before I start talking about Seven Seas... I'm just going to double check, Justin. We didn't, like, already cover some of these, right? Because this is a lot of titles.
We did not cover any of these.
Okay.
Trust me. I would know.
Okay. Seven Seas will not be doing A Wonderful Wednesday this month because, or for this last week because, as Justin and I have been saying, it is Thanksgiving week. So a lot of us are going to be busy on Wednesday. Those of us who don't already live near our families have to go off and drive. So... Amongst the many, many titles they licensed, these include Shibane Kozomurai and Miyuki Ruri's Liar's Journey, Reborn as a False Hero, I'll Save the Tragic Heroine from Every Death Route, This is going to be a digital title under their Airship light novel line. Bashokozoku and Tozai's Predator Witches, again, a digital title under the Airship line. Kaisei Kikuchi, Doma Oda, and Rain Kuwashima's Reborn as an Aristocratic Scoundrel, I Broke the Game and Mastered Magic Beyond Limits. This will be both manga and light novels. The light novel will be digital. Bit interesting. I don't think before they've been doing so many digital-only light novel titles.
Yep, I have noted that. That's why I remember we didn't cover this last time. Because I'm like, they have never specifically just said for these light novels to just be digital only. So either that's a new thing they're going to do moving forward for certain titles, or maybe it's just not have the rights to print just yet. They'll just do it later. Don't know yet, but very curious decision by them.
Yeah, it could be we don't think this is going to sell as much, or it could just be we want to prioritize getting our things printed if we're still having trouble with printing things, especially now that we've got tariffs. Although I think a lot of printing has moved back to the U.S. during the pandemic. But okay, I was not done with titles yet, guys. Don't worry, they put out even more. They also announced Michi Ichihio and Lala Takemiya's When It Rains, It Pours, another Airship title. Tsurukishi's Me and the Prez Drinking Under the Stars. Nakaya Onsen's Phenomenon X, Paranormal Crime Files. Atoro Sonoguchi's Raw and His Vampire Prince. Bunjin Hirameki's Doing Secret Things with the Holy Maidens. Bit surprised that's not a ghost ship title. Panda's Love is Money. Akashiro Aoi Koji Moromi, Murata Shinya, and Yanai Nobuhiko's The Death-Defying Princess Creates a Yuri Harem to Survive. How did it take like a harem of people just to make that? Tanashi Kawano, Fire in His Fingertips, A Flirty Fireman Ravishes Me with His Smoldering Gaze. This will be digital only. I don't know exactly how I'm supposed to pronounce this manga's name.
Whoa. Fire in His Fingertips has actually been licensed already. It was just released in print. So this is the first time I've released it digitally.
Okay, yeah, I thought that one sounded familiar, but there are several, like, hot fireman manga, so I wasn't sure if I was right there. And then, for the one where I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce manga's name, ITKZ's The Titan's Bride, which will be digital. I know that one got an anime, but I don't think it was simulcast here. I don't think the manga's been licensed before.
The manga has been licensed before. Titan's Bride has been licensed a couple times. Seven Seas also has released this in print for a long time, or for a decent amount of time, but now they're releasing this also digitally.
Ah, gotcha. And they also announced a couple more audiobook titles for their Siren imprint. Reina Soratani's I Swear I Won't Bother You Again, which will be narrated by Phoebe Stroll. Toko Amekawa's Seventh Time Loop, The Villainess Enjoys a Carefree Life, Married to Her Worst Enemy, and that will be narrated by Sarah Gage. Seeing that on my newsletter actually reminded me, and I checked, and my library has more digital copies of the manga than they did last time I checked, so I have put holds on all of them right now, so now I'm waiting like 14 weeks for volume 5 or whatever it is.
I will confirm the Doing Secret Things with the Holy Maidens, that actually is a ghost ship title.
I had seen a picture of that, and I was like, hang on a second.
Don't ask me how I missed not adding that there. My bad. not quite licensed, but I mean, this is kind of a case where Crunchyroll and Titan Manga having a partnership was kind of awkward to put in the news section. But I'm turning it as a license anyway. So yes, we have 26 titles from Titan that's going to be on the Crunchyroll Manga service. Excuse me. Apparently I can't speak today. somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Titan Manga is like available on any other like kind of service like digitally.
Does that include like digital copies on Amazon? Are the titles
Sorry. To be clear, I mean like on a subscription service. That should be more clear. Okay. I have to have an app or anything like that. And my understanding is there's nothing like that. Like you get it like on volumes and print and digitally on like storefronts and everything, but in terms of like a subscription service, I don't think so. So this actually is a good get for Crunchyroll. I will not say all the titles They did have like a couple like some Somali and the Forest Spirit, just name like a few that they
Yeah, that one's
have.
man, that one's been passed around like a phantom bicycle.
So that's gonna be another app. So I think the fact that they got that is actually a really good thing. Because it's not like new with new titles or anything, but it's new in a sense that all the other stuff they had original on Crunchyroll manga, I could just go to other services, but I can't get Titan manga on this service on like a super service. So good for them.
And that is reminding me that a lot of the few manga subscription services that we have in the US, a lot of them are kind of publisher locked. Like this is Viz Manga and Shonen Jump, K Manga, and we don't actually see that much from Seven Seas or Yen Press by comparison, since they don't have their own dedicated apps
Well,
for that. And Kodansha
you're
USA also
not
has like stuff on their website, which is separate from K Manga.
you're not wrong on Yen Press, but a couple of their titles, Square Enix has it, so you can have it shared with the like Square Enix in a sense. But your main point about it is pretty correct still. And then a final bit of licensing news. Although it's that also not new in a sense either, but a 4K release of Discotheque of Project Aiko of the I think this is the entire films that they're putting together Discotheque. That's kind of new to me, and my stalling has paid off.
Yeah, it was funny because they had hyped it up as kind of a major announcement, but when they announced it, my friends and I were like, not sure why they had to make an announcement for this, since, especially as you note here in the script, when Discotheque announced the license for this back in December 2021, they even said that the new scan of the film was done in 4K. So it was like, yeah, we knew you already had a 4K scan of this. We figured you'd probably do something of it sooner or later. I
Well,
seem to
it
recall
took
this was
four.
the
It
I
took.
seem to recall this was the one where they had to do like a lot of the Astro Res initially before they found like a good master print of it, but yeah.
Well, for what it's worth, it did take like 5 years. Like it's gonna be released
I mean,
next year, so
Discotheque is a
it's gonna.
pretty small company as I understand it. And also like plenty of people don't have 4K TVs yet or 4K players. Like
Yeah, it wouldn't make much sense, right?
my TV is definitely one where like my dad and my stepmom were like, we got a new TV. Do you want one of our old ones? And it's like, sure, I will take a free TV. Okay, so we've covered the news, we've covered the licensing news. We've only got one bit of streaming news, which is that Crunchyroll has started streaming the Futopi Kamen Rider Skull no Shozo. I don't know if it's a film specifically or if it's a special.
It's a film. It's a film.
It
It's a
okay,
film.
yeah. It came out like a year or a year and a half ago, and it's related to the Futopi Kamen Rider animated series that came out a bit before that, which is like a sequel to Kamen Rider W, as I understand it. You can watch the anime without having seen the live action show. I did it and I survived Telltale. But yeah, that is finally up now. Don't know why it took so long, but Kamen Rider licensing has always been kind of weird in the US. Oh man, we
My
didn't even
only
talk
my
about like the Ultraman like mall shows that's going around the US right now. Oh, okay, maybe this is why. Hang on,
the
let me
what? Oh
send you a couple.
no.
This isn't
Oh
weird
great.
news. This isn't weird news. I'll just send you a couple things to look at after the
Oh
podcast.
boy. Oh great. Got the Ultraman thing that I have no clue she's talking about. All right. The only just
Listen, Justin, this
random
is because you're not on Blue Sky.
okay. Let's go on to the weird news of the week, which wasn't too much, but as we talked about last episode, we decided not to put this license because what's up with Noe Senpai is a weird news story. So we talked last episode about how after it was announced by Seven Seas, they mysteriously deleted the article about it and their social media posts about it, following lots of critique about the name of the title. They didn't feel there was a lot of people that didn't feel like it was correct and felt like it didn't really fit the type of story it was telling. So the Japanese name again is Nomi Senpai no Benmei. So yeah, we was like, what's the what happened? And then once when this happened, and then they didn't say anything about it then. So they got some people concerned. Then they took a random social media posts. I assume they sent this on social, all the socials. That actually, as it turned out, the name they shared was not approved by neither the author or the publisher, Hompusha. So they have to work on revising it. Still no word of when it's going to happen or when they're going to announce it. But yes, that's... yeah, so I think I suggested last episode that it was just probably one thing they didn't get approved. I was thinking a little darker, that it was like a potential like a Persona 5 situation all over again. But it wasn't quite that, as it turns out. But I guess it's somewhat in that same vicinity where they just thought they got something approved. And as it turned out, no. In fact, they didn't even let the author or the company know. And they didn't approve any of that. So... yeah, Seven Seas, what happened? It's that literally that 1 out of 10,000 like thing that happened where everything seems to be going well, but then there's one aspect that gets forgotten or missed and panic. one other thing I just want to add. They should really not just be sending on social media. They should just send these revised press releases, like updating people, because you can go
come
right
on,
now.
Come on, guys!
Like,
you're not Titan Manga. We know you know how to send out a press release.
They get, like, right now we have ANN and Crunchyroll still having the old title, no update. So it's just gonna confuse people if they had to search it up. So yeah, they should really do it. Seven Seas really do that. Go ahead.
All right, and then we don't normally comment on things getting adapted into anime just because there's too many things. We can't cover every licensing every adaptation announcement. But this one is unusual because of how long it's taken. But the Drops of God manga is getting a TV anime next year. That manga has been, God, I think continuously running for decades at this point. It's gotten live action releases.
It had the recent live action release on Apple TV.
Yeah, ANN is telling me that the first series ended in June 2014, and the 44th and final compiled volume shipped in July 2014. I know Vertical put out a couple of volumes. Kodansha's been putting it out separately from the fact that Kodansha like absorbed Vertical. There's a sequel, Drops of God Second, running, or it did run for a year. Yeah, it's kind of funny, like, how this one has had a surprisingly long tail, despite starting off kind of awkwardly in the U.S., at least.
Right. No, remember, Vertigo put it out, I think they only did the first 5 volumes, and it was, like, kind of an omnibus format. Then they skipped.
Yeah, because the sales were real.
Yeah.
We're not good at expecting them not to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, and then after that, they kind of skipped over that, other volumes of the Ritual Drops of God. They moved over to the New World volumes and compiled that, and that was it. Nothing else after that until Vertical then bought it back, but digital only. And then out of nowhere, it's now gotten a print release. I think they announced this last year, and it just came out last week. So what a turnaround! Like, for real, it seemed really dead. I'm not sure it's still doing that well, but obviously I guess Kodansha is in a state where they can do these type of releases now. So yeah, what a weird but obviously a interesting turnaround for them. Very interesting.
Yeah, I was sharing it in one of my group chats, tagging someone in the group chat who works for a winery, and they said, oh, I wonder if my boss is going to be animated in this one because he showed up in the manga at one point.
Oh, wow, that's funny. Wow. Another weird news to add to that. Another word to add to that.
Apparently, Drops of God, like, includes, like, real-world people in it. okay, I will let Justin look at the Ultraman stuff I sent him earlier and keep talking.
I got to look at the Ultraman stuff now? Oh, great.
Yeah, you got to figure out if we're going to talk about it or not. You got to make the call. All right. K-Pop Demon Hunters continues to not be an anime, but continues to be a cultural phenomenon. So they are going to have some floats for it at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Wanted to mention this in time for anyone who wants to catch the parade to watch it. I know that my stepmom is fond of turning on the parade Thanksgiving morning, and then when the parade's done, we turn on the dog show. So, you know, nice chill vibes there. I think it's going to be a sussy and derpy float. And over in the UK, however, some people are not having this. The BBC reported that the Lilliput Church of England's infant school in Poole, Dorset, sent a message to parents asking children to refrain from singing K-pop Demon Hunter songs at the school, quote, out of respect for those who find the themes at odds with their faith. I was not aware that the Church of England had such a strong anti-demon hunting stance, but I guess? Or a strong, you know, not believing in yourself? Just, yeah. It's always weird when religious groups are like, you can't even talk about stories that have demons in there. And it's like, bitch, you mentioned these in your church services. I know you do. What? Are you worried that everyone else is going to be like, man, their stories about demons are lame. These other stories about demons are so much cooler. Just.
He's right. Just crazy.
Also, Justin, while we were talking, I added in, you forgot about the hockey thing.
No, I did. First of all, I ignored that because I wanted to, okay?
Justin, you were the one who was sending me screenshots for 2 days of people's takes on a minor league NHL team does an Evangelion-themed opening sequence.
That didn't mean I wanted to talk about it in the podcast, but I guess it's in the script. I will talk about it.
I said, yes. Are we going to talk about this on the podcast? And you said maybe with a winking face, so...
you said you was going to add it. I was not necessarily... gonna do it.
I said, are you? And I said, well, if you don't, I'll add it.
And you did. At the last minute, I was hoping you forget.
but yes.
All right.
Continuing in the trend of American sports teams proving that everyone is a nerd, the minor league NHL team, I think it's the Flyers. It sounds like they're a feeder team for the Philadelphia...
Flyers,
whatever the fuck the Philadelphia team is. Whatever Gritty's team is.
I just said the Flyers.
Anyway, I'm not the hockey person here, Justin. That's your job. And so they did for their opening sequence about a week back. They made it mimic the Neon Genesis Evangelion opening, but, you know, with pictures of their own players spliced in, you know, imagery altered, you know, to reflect hockey, and it really is pretty funny. And Justin really was sending me screenshots of 2 days of people making jokes like get on the hockey rink, Shinji, and all that.
Get in the crease, Shinji.
it was very funny, and just continues to prove that anime is so mainstream now, guys, because they had people on the staff who thought this was funny enough to make it happen, assumed that enough of their audience would think it was funny, or that they could at least make it funny for the non-anime watching audience. Just anime has gone even more mainstream in 2025, truly.
Now, can they get away with this in an NHL arena? Now that would be the real question, Helen.
Would there be like additional licensing restrictions, you think, there? Is this kind of like smaller team can get away with it, but bigger teams are under more scrutiny?
I'm not sure. I just think for minor league, gonna have a little bit more less restrictions, because most people are not necessarily going to these type of games, so you just gotta like do something a little creative, whereas NHL, obviously you're possibly paying more money and everything, so you're not really necessarily thinking about using anime, I think, for NHL arenas or anything, or most sporting like events. Obviously you had like for NFL they like the team up with One Piece and for certain like things, but it's very rare to like have a whole like thing about that. I did
get an Instagram notification from Otakon that they're doing kind of a Hello Kitty night with the Philadelphia team, where it's like, you know, kind of you go and you can get like a free plushie, et cetera, et cetera. And I was just bummed that it was like in Philadelphia and not in DC, because it's like, I'm not traveling a 4-hour round trip for hockey when I've got hockey at home.
But yes, eventually the hockey Evangelion mashup did eventually reach Twitter. And of course, I also said that to Helen at the same time.
Yeah, since the initial post I had seen was someone who I think had recorded it themselves, you know, from the audience and posted it on Blue Sky.
So yeah, that was all humorous. Definitely memorable. All that stuff. So yeah, fun stuff. I will just say I have nothing to say about the Ultraman stuff. So unless Helen has some very good thoughts about the entire
It's kind of wild that like... There is like one of those Ultraman stage shows that you'd see at a mall in Japan just touring the U.S. going to, you know, a couple different malls and having pretty good turnout, it looks like. Like, I had a couple of friends who were in New Jersey for Anime New Jersey, which coincidentally was at the same time and like nearby. So they went and saw this as well. And they said, yeah, it was a great time, you know, fun energy. The videos look fun. Some people got photos of how many people were packed into this mall to see it. Yeah, I think it's kind of wild because that's definitely not the kind of thing that usually comes over here. It's pretty rare to get any kind of Japanese theatrical stuff that's not strictly traditional, and even that's unusual. Like, we get some of it in DC because cultural capital, kind of. Like, not in the same way New York is, but like its own cultural capital. But yeah, very wild.
Okay. All right then, Helen, I have some good news and bad news.
Well, the
The
bad
bad
news is that
news
we
is this
definitely went past
podcast
6
did not.
o'clock.
Yeah. The bad news is past 6 o'clock, and actually my goal was kind of get this podcast under an hour, and that's not gonna quite happen, but the good
Well, if
news is
somebody didn't spend so much time talking about Uma Musume.
this podcast is now officially over. It is time to wrap up. Where can we find you, Helen?
Like I've been saying, I am over on Blue Sky, unlike Justin. So you can go find me on Blue Sky at Wandering Dreamer. And the other podcast I co-host is called Manga in Your Ears. You can find us on Blue Sky at Taiku Podcast. That is TAIIKU Podcast. And that's also the name of the website where episodes are hosted. And sometimes Corey forgets to update the podcast Blue Sky feed. So you got to go over there and check if we've been talking about anything recently. Whenever I complain about this to him, he's like, I gave you the password. And I'm like, I don't want to have to deal with signing into another account to post this.
Time to get a social media, one of them social media platforms that you can just sign up and just have that separate.
Well, like you know very well, it's kind of hard to find ones that work for Blue Sky as well, since that's
Oh,
why
okay.
all of our own Blue
You're
Sky
right.
posts are like bridged over from Mastodon.
Right, that's right. You're right. Well, maybe next year. You can find me somehow still on Twitter at KameyosKonomi. Once again, the three houses, you know.
But it
Will
does mean that
Fortress
you're missing all of Alcina's posts
League.
about Conan.
Wait, say that again.
This means you're missing all of Alcina's posts about Conan.
Whose post? Oh, I've seen. Oh, she's yeah. She, oh, I bet you she's very much enjoying
Yeah,
the
she's been
Tentacle
posting on Blue
Resurgence for
Sky all
sure.
happy about that, and it's like, you're missing out, Justin.
That is true. I am missing about that. That is something I'm missing out. That is unfortunate. But yes. You can check out the OSG.com for reviews and futures. Follow the OSG on many social media platforms. Obviously, we can the Twitter, Blue Sky, Mastodon, all that stuff. You can check out the OSG podcast with Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and ask me or so you have, or just by email. Maybe next time I will not spend so much time talking about Sense on TV Plus. I think that was a more main issue of this episode.
I would be a little concerned if Samsung TV Plus does enough that we need to continue talking about it at length in future episodes. That would be a little concerning.
Until next time, everybody, have a happy Thanksgiving once again.
See ya. Bye.